Our God and our Father, we again come this afternoon here together, and we ask that Thou would revive Thy Word again, Thou work in our hearts, gather Thy saints together to give them water, and we wait on Thee, and the Holy Spirit would work in each of our hearts. We pray for those who could not be with us this afternoon for various reasons, that Thou would bless them too, as we ask Thy blessing in Thy precious name. Amen.
We can open our Bibles for the reading of the Scriptures. We will start in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We will read from verses 1 to 23. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Continuing in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Finally, in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So far.
Just by way of introduction to the parables, the kingdom of heaven, the parable of the kingdom of heaven is not heaven, and neither of the parables, because we read of the wise and the foolish virgins. We read of the good and the bad fish. We read of the wheat and the tares. So this mix is not present in heaven. But what is the kingdom of heaven? It is the rule of heaven on earth. The rule of heaven on earth, while the king is absent. We can have a glimpse of that in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, and verses 17 and verse 32. It says there, the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. So, the heaven still rules, even though the king is absent. So the kingdom of heaven includes both believers and unbelievers. And it started from the time when the Lord first came to this earth, and it will end when He comes the second time. Starts from his first coming to the second coming. I understand that some of the expositors think also that it includes the millennium. I'm not sure of that. The Lord spoke 30 parables. 12 of them are called the kingdom of heaven. We find 11 in the Gospel of Matthew and 1 in the Gospel of Mark. Sometimes it is called the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And the word mystery is not something that is mysterious or that is puzzling. No, but it is a truth that was hid in the old and is now revealed in the new. So it's a truth that is now revealed to us. And we know that there are so many mysteries. We are not going to study them, but we're just going to study the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. And just a brief note why the parables. The parables the Lord is given to attract the attention of the people he was talking to. And he is using very familiar objects, like, for instance, the seed here in this parable, the fish, the leaven, and so on. Things that are familiar to the people. And there is a basic thought that he was trying to convey to his listeners. And he is using the parables. Another thing about the parables is that it clarifies a matter to those who want to hear it, to those who want to obey. But to those that refuse, it makes it more hard to them. And it dulls it, so they cannot understand it. We have read that in verse 15 of the chapter of Matthew 13. So the parable of the sower, we're going to go into the details, but just a thought. It's truly a parable of the heart. There is nothing wrong with the seed and nothing wrong with the sower. But what is really the problem is in the heart of man. As someone said, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. The second parable that we're going to discuss in the next period is the householder and the laborers. And we can talk about rewards in that parable. But I just briefly say that it is not the agreement, but it is his goodness that gives the reward. And then forgiving the debt, and then watching and be ready for the virgins, and so on. And so we just look to the Lord to give the increase as we continue on our studies.
The first verse of our chapter is important in its context here. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him. The house here represents the house of Israel. The verses that were read in the morning for the prayer meeting in chapter 10, where the Lord is saying, what were the verses that you read again?
Chapter 9.
Yeah, verse 36, that's right. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And then he says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And he asked to pray the Lord of the harvest. And then in the next chapter, 10, he chooses 12 disciples, and he sends them forth. And notice he says in verse 7 of chapter 10, verse 5 already, verse 5, These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not unto the way of the Gentiles, and unto the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What the Lord is showing us here is the ministry of the kingdom of heaven as he sent out the messengers, and he forbids them to go to the Gentiles. It was offered, first of all, to the people of Israel. They refused it. They rejected him. They rejected the messengers. And in rejecting them, we find the Lord leaves that house. But I would just add one thing to that. He says, you go and preach, and you continue to do so, the heaven's at hand. And really, what he is saying there, in that chapter, when you trace it, he is saying that ministry to Israel will resume again after the present period of the church is complete. Then a ministry and a remnant will go out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and will gather them together. But in the meantime, as our brothers pointed out, the kingdom of heaven is characterized by the absence of the king. The absence of the king. Why was he absent? Because he was cast out of the vineyard. They rejected him. So he begins a new work. When springtime comes around, we're all waiting for the flowers to come up, and we're waiting to put some seeds in the ground to start a new work, a new harvest, as it were. That's the illustration that he gives here. Who is the sower? It's the Lord himself who began this. He sows the seed. And so he called his, I go back to our chapter, and there were great multitudes gathered to him, and our brother answered already why he spoke in parables. But he says to them, to you, to the believers, it is given, he gives us understanding. It's the mystery of the kingdom of heavens. But you know, we're a privileged people. God has given us the Spirit of God in order that we might understand what he speaks to us in parables. And moreover, when he leaves the multitude, when he is in the house, that's when he explains the parables. Who was in the house? The disciples were there. His own were there. And so, just a point for us, for an encouragement, to understand the thoughts of God. It's in the secret of his presence. We want to be found there. And so, as he went, we find here, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And then we find the different characters of the ground. And I'm going to stop right here. But he, now the Lord, is the one that shows us, first of all, the sower, why he goes out, and the purpose of it is that there might be fruit. Fruit for God. That's what God is looking for from you and me.
We heard that the parables have two objects, one for the disciples and which for the believers. It opens the understanding, and it closes the understanding of the non-believer who wants to argue, who does not want to understand. It is just like the pillar of cloud. You know, when the Israelites left Egypt and it came close to the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were behind them and the sea was before. It says that the pillar of cloud removed from before the Israelites and stood between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And it was darkness to the Egyptians. It was light to the Israelites. So are the parables. It is darkness to the Jews, to the Pharisees that would like to argue, do not want to. They have eyes open, but they don't want to see. You know, you take someone outside in the middle of the sunshine and you tell him, this is the sunshine. He says, son, I can't see the sun. So that's exactly the Pharisees. It closes their understanding. And one thing I learned about the parables, there are four things to look for. And I think if you follow this, you'll find it easy to understand. The first thing is the setting. Why did the Lord say this parable? And in most cases, it was triggered by a question, either from the Jews, or the disciples, or the Lord himself. In those seven parables that are in Matthew 13, the question is found in chapter 12, when he was speaking to the crowd, and then his mother and brethren came, and they told him, your mother and your brothers are waiting outside. He said, who is my brother, and who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he pointed to the disciples and says, this is my mother and my sisters and brothers, those that do the will of him that sent me, of the Father. So here is the question. So the setting, why did the Lord say this parable? And the parable is an interesting story that provokes the mind and the understanding for a lesson that the Lord would like to teach and for us to look for the lesson. Now the second thing, so the first thing is the setting. The second thing is the parable itself, the narrative, the story. And the third thing is the spiritual lesson the Lord wanted to convey. And the fourth thing is the moral applications that I can draw out of this parable. So if you look for these four things in the parables that we're going to study, you'll find it easier to understand. Another thing, an advice, is a word of caution, and those are found in the book of Brother Campbell. He has a beautiful book about the parables in the Gospel of Matthew. He says a word of caution. You cannot take part of the parable and make this as the lesson the Lord wanted to convey from the parable. You have to take the full story and find out where the lesson that the Lord wanted to convey. And you'll find this very clearly in the second session that I think Brother Hadley is going to present, in the parable of the unforgiving servant. You'll find it very clearly. If you take part of the parable and run away with it and say, this is what the Lord meant, you'll fall into some problems. So you have to take the whole picture, the whole story, and find out where is the spiritual lesson the Lord wanted to convey. It's just like a nice frame picture. You cannot take part of the picture and say, this is what the artist wanted to convey. You have to take the full picture and see where is the mind of the artist. Now, this parable, as it was mentioned, in many cases it has a dispensational meaning. We got some of this here. It also has a moral meaning. And both are very helpful, very interesting, and very helpful. In this parable, there are four soils. And if you think that you are the last soil that bears fruit, because I'm the believer, and the believer bears fruit, you miss the meaning. It is not meant that way how we distinguish between a believer and an unbeliever. That's not the intention of the Lord for us. But what is the intention? We're going to find that out as we continue with our studies. The intention is to bear fruit. The Lord wants us to bear fruit. And here, the last soil bore 60, 30, no, 30, 60, and 100. In Mark, it's 130, 60. 160, 30. In Luke, it's 104. So the intention, the lesson that the Lord wants us to convey is that we bear fruit. Now, there are examples in the scripture of the first three parables, of the first three soils of non-believers. But nevertheless, we'd like to take everything to our learning. So whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scripture, might have hope. We want to learn from these four soils. There's a warning for each one of us, and there's a great reward, and there's a good understanding in the last soil. So I leave it with this.
Why the sower went out to sow? This is a question. And there is another question. Why there is a relationship between understanding and bearing fruits? As we could read from verse 19 and verse 23. We see a relationship between those who couldn't understand, they couldn't bear fruit. And those who understood, they could bear fruit. When we go back to the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, we could read that there was a law. This law was, there was herbs, and the herbs give seeds. And every tree gave a fruit of its own kind. So, if we put that in our mind, and ask why then the sower had to go out to sow, we realize that there is a reason. And the reason was in chapter 3. When sin entered, we read that the Lord cursed the ground. And when the Lord cursed the ground, He cursed it because of sin and because of lack of understanding. The Lord told Adam, give him an instruction not to eat from the tree. Adam couldn't understand that this instruction was because of love. God loved Adam and He didn't want him to be away from Him. Adam couldn't understand, and as a result, he couldn't bear fruit. The ground was cursed. And then here we read that the sower went out to sow. And the only one who could sow is the Lord Jesus. Why? Because He's the one who said that your law is in the middle of my heart. He kept the word of God. And as a result, He was able to go out and sow. And everyone who understand, he could bear fruit. If we compare from the book of Genesis, Cain to Abel, we read that Cain, he had fruits. But those fruits were not out of obedience. God showed him and gave him the way. He showed him that there is a sacrifice. He didn't obey God. And as a result, his fruits were not accepted because it is from a cursed ground. On the other side, we read about Abel. Abel accepted what God told him. He obeyed. And as a result, he was able to bear fruit. And that's why when we read here in verse 19, understanding, it is not just understanding of what it means, what the word of God means. Because I could have many books who could tell me what the word of God means. But it's about how I am applying it. Do I obey it or not? And that's why in the second example, when we read about those who had joy initially, when I hear the word of God, it gives me joy. Initially, when I taste it, it tastes good. It tastes honey. But when I take it deep, actually I feel pain. Why is the pain? Is because it's showing me my condition. I am sinful. And it gives me grief initially. And until I reach to this, I will not be able to continue. If I only take it lightly, first I have joy. I'm happy to hear the word. Happy to hear the translation and explanation, but it stops there. But if I take it deep, understand it, and apply it, give me initially grief until I realize what the Lord did for me and I could bear fruit. Amen.
There are seven parables we see in this chapter. Six of them started with this word: the kingdom of heaven is like so on. So in the other six parables, the Lord likened the kingdom of heaven with the parable, except in this parable of the sower and the seed. And the reason why, because this parable shows us how to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then afterwards, the parables, the rest of the parables show us the conditions or some lessons about the kingdom of heaven, how it looks like. So what is the link between sowing the seed and entering into the kingdom of heaven? As we heard, the kingdom of heaven means the rule of heaven on earth. And the Lord was rejected as a king, and this rejection was manifested in the previous chapter, chapter 12, when they refused his ministry, and in the previous chapter, chapter 11, when they rejected his messenger. Now the Lord Jesus is a rejected king going outside, asking or inviting people to enter into his kingdom. When he is a king, he is not king in a kingdom or like in glory, but a kingdom where he serves. He is the sower that sowing the seed. A kingdom where he is faced by enemies. We can read about the devil. We can read about bad soils. We can read about the devil is snatching the word. So we can read about a king that is rejected, a king is faced by enemies, a king that serving, not being served. So the seed, when it is preached, when it is sowed, when I receive, the seed is the authority of his word. He is an absent king, but his word is present, is presented to us. So when I receive the seed, when I believe in the word, I put myself under the authority of his word. So when all of us confess the Lord Jesus as our Lord, we enter into his kingdom. And he is not present physically with us, but his word is with us. So I put myself under the authority of his word. When I accept the seed, when the seed is sowed, I bow myself under his word, under his authority, saying, Lord, I obey you. I do whatever you ask me to do. And again, we are faced by different attitudes of the soil. The soil is faced by the devil snatching the word, or by hardening, the ground is hard, is not soft, or by the thorns that are coming out. And in these three types of soil, we can see the three enemies of the believer. In the first soil, we speaks about the power of the devil snatching the word. Maybe in this room we are 200, 300, I don't know. All of us are hearing my voice or whoever spoke before me. They said something. All of us heard it. But how much we retained of this word? How much we understood of this word? If I don't understand it, I give the opportunity to the devil before I walk out from this room that this word is gone. I don't remember anything. The second enemy is the flesh, the authority or the power of the flesh. The flesh tries. The flesh respond quickly. But there is no real work in the heart. So afterwards, it fades down quickly. Again, I could like what I hear. I could like the word of God initially. But afterwards, the effect is gone. The third enemy is the power of the world around us. With the riches, with the glories, or with the problems, it shocks the word of God. It doesn't give it room to work and prosper and develop in our hearts and cause us to be unfruitful. So what is the lesson? If we go back to each one of them, we have a lesson. Don't give opportunity to the devil to snatch the word. How? By giving it time. Spend time with the word and understand it. Ask the Lord, please open my understanding to understand the scripture, understand your word. How precious, how wonderful it is. By praying that the Lord soften our heart. The word of God, the Lord liken it like a fire, an hammer that can break the rock into pieces. We complain in our meetings that the word is not effective. It was mentioned that the word of God is powerful, it is pure, it is complete, it is perfect, it lacks nothing. The Lord say it is like a purified silver, purified 7 times, perfect purity. But where is the problem? The problem here. Do we submit ourselves to the authority of the word of God? Do we do what he says? And the third lesson is the effect of the world around us, causing us to go away and shocks the effect of the word of God. May the Lord help us to learn from this lesson that as we hear the word and we accept it, we put ourselves under the authority of his word and his lordship. And we're doing so, we should follow and obey his word. Amen.
We read in the 4 Gospels about 35 miracles. And as we heard in the introduction about between, I read it's 35 also parables, but it is only in the first 3 Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We don't read about any parable mentioned in the Gospel of John. Why? Because the Gospel of John speak about the Son of God himself. He is the focus, so there is no way to mention any parables about the kingdom. As we heard at the beginning, he left the house. What is the house here? The house of Israel, as we read in the same gospel, Matthew 10 and verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as we heard at the end of chapter 12, he cut this relationship with the house of Israel. And we read at the beginning of chapter 13 that he went to the sea. And the sea in the Bible is a picture of the world. So the message now, the of salvation is going to the whole world, not to the Israelites only. We read about 2 parables. The Lord gave an explanation for them, both of them in Matthew 13. The only 2 parables of the 35 mentioning explanation was the sower and the tares and the wheat. This is the only 2 parables that the Lord himself gave an explanation for what is the meaning of these parables.
In this one, he gave explanation about almost everything except the sower. Who's the sower? He didn't mention it. He mentioned the seed is the word of God. He mentioned the different soils as a picture of the hearts, but he didn't mention who is the sower. And if we can turn to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Hebrews 2, 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? So here we find the sower. At the beginning, it was the Lord himself, and then his disciples or the apostles. And then after that, everyone who is sowing the seed, maybe you, at your university, at your school, at your neighborhood, by spreading or distributing some tracts, you are sowing the seed. That's why he left it open so everyone can put himself as a sower to the seed. We read about the four different kind of the, if I can name it, the human heart, on the way how we respond to the word of God, how we accept the word of God. And when we go to the fourth soil, it says it was a good soil. Why it was a good soil? What's the difference between the four soils? It's not there is a human heart that it is very bad for the grace of God to work on it. No. What make that four soil is good, that soil, that heart was prepared to receive the word of God. The listener, the hearer was ready to accept the word of God. He prepared his heart to that. If we can turn to Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 3. Jeremiah 4, 3. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Here was a command to them. If you want fruit, you have to prepare your heart for that. It's not about God created some people from the fourth soil and he created others with the three different kind. No. It's how I respond to the word of God. We found about the Satan snatching the word of God. And it reminds me of Felix. Felix heard the word of God and it touched his heart. But he was not ready. He said, come again. When I have time, convenient time, I will call you. He didn't want to respond. Herod was also a good listener to John the Baptist, but only a listener. For a very short time, he was listening, but his heart was not ready or prepared to accept, to receive, to respond to the word of God in a positive way. That's why the Satan was ready to snatch, because there was no enough roots. Here we read about those who, as we heard, who understand. And when we go to the Gospel of Mark, we read about those who accept. And then in the Gospel of Luke, we read about those who keep. Understand, because they are Jewish. They were accepting the Old Testament. Their problem was not about accepting the Word of God, but about understanding the Word of God. As we heard from Brother Wagdi about the pillar, They were not able to understand. They accept the word of God, but they were not able to understand. But for the Gentiles, their problem was to accept. That's why in Mark he said to accept, and then in Luke he said to keep it in your heart. May the Lord help us to understand His word and to accept it, to accept the authority of His word and to keep it in our hearts.
The word of God is such a wonderful treasure. And when you open here in Matthew 13, where the Lord starts a new work, it's amazing. He was not discouraged. He continued, and He was going to use His disciples. Today the Lord is in the glory, and He wants to use you and me to continue His work. He is the great worker, of course. We have the seed 7 times in Matthew. We have sowing and sower, that's from the same root, 14 times. And so here is a work that the Lord Jesus starts and that He still continues. Matthew is the gospel that gives us the dispensations. So God has a plan for Israel, but the plans for Israel are on hold, as it were, because they rejected the Messiah. And in Matthew 23, you see that He says they will not see Him again until they say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So He's coming back. He's going to fulfill His plans for Israel. In the meantime, He has work, and that includes the Gentiles. He collected a people from among the Gentiles, together with some from among the Jews. And so in Matthew 13, you have an overview of this work that continues. And indeed, there are 7 parables, but there's also an 8th parable at the end of the chapter. And I think we need to see that, because the 7 parables give an overview of what was going to happen. In the second parable, you have the tare, the darnel, and there is a mixture. That's the work of the enemy. We heard about the dangers, the flesh and the enemy and the world, but there is the enemy. Then you have a work that God continues in the third parable with this, it slips my mind now, I just have to look it up. The third parable is a continuation of the work that He started, and then we see that the Lord is going to explain the third and the fourth parable in the home. So after He speaks about the mustard seed in verse 31 and explains the outward growth of this kingdom of heaven, He explains also the inward corruption that's connected to the leaven in verse 33, and He is explaining these things in the house to the disciples. But then the fifth parable, the treasure, He shows that in the kingdom, while the king is absent, He has a very special treasure. And that is the believers today. They are a treasure, individually and collectively. But then the sixth parable, He shows there is a wonderful treasure. That's the pearl. The pearl is the sixth parable. That's wonderful that the Lord has something for Himself, for His own pleasure, the pearl of great price. And in the seventh parable, you see how the Lord concludes there will be a result, and at the end of the dispensation, that result comes then into our vision. But then the eighth parable that He mentioned, that is also important for us. And I connect that with the first parable. Because with the first parable, the question is, what kind of soil am I? Am I like the first type of soil that speaks of hardening? That can happen to believers too, you know. It's not only unbelievers that shut their ears or hearts for the word of God. That can happen to believers, that they harden themselves. I can harden myself. That's like the first soil. Or the second type of soil, that can happen in our lives too, you know. It's not only unbelievers who are in danger of these things, that they shut out the effect of the word of God. And so is the third. But with the fourth soil, I'd like to combine the fourth soil with the eighth parable. In Matthew 13, it says that those who are instructed in the kingdom of heaven, verse 52, are like a man who is a householder. We'll talk about the householder later. But the point is now he brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. So this is someone who has understood. Verse 51 speaks about understanding. So the Lord wants us to be good soil. And I want to say some more thing about the good soil. But the point is that it's connected with those who are instructed and who respond in a positive way, who lay hold of these treasures, verse 52, and can bring forth from their own treasure things new and old. So here are the instructed ones. That's the eighth parable. The Lord wants us to be instructed. But now I'd like to connect that with this first parable in the fourth section, that is the good result, the power of the seed. That's what is mentioned in our outline. And so the good soil shows then this result, the power of the seed. The good soil goes together with this result, the power of the seed. And we see then in Matthew, again, the dispensations, there it starts good, 100%, and then it diminishes 60, 40. But in Mark, you have the servant. In Mark, it is the opposite development. In Mark, it starts with 30 or 40, and then 60, and then 100-fold. So there is increase. That's what the Lord has in mind for servants, for you and me today. That's Mark 4. But when you compare, then Luke 8, we have read that verse. I just want to say a few things about verse 15, Luke 8, verse 15. There you have the good soil. There you have the seed. And what's the result? 100%. Because the word of God is the seed. The word of God has always 100% effect. It is the word of God. And it is so powerful. It's so amazing. So let's just concentrate for a minute on verse 15. Luke 8, verse 15. So there you have not the dispensations like in Matthew. You don't have the servant who increases in effect like in Mark. But here you have the power of the word of God. And that power of the word of God is immediately connected with the good soil. Verse 15. And it is connected with the heart. Because our brother said already earlier, the issue of the heart is the heart, is the matter of the problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. Or you can say it in different words, but it is really the matter of the heart. And now look at Luke 8:15. There we have an honest and good heart. It's interesting that there are two different words in English, but also in the Greek. The first means something that is beautiful. So there the heart is in tune with God. God is good. And here the heart is good. So that's the heart of a believer. Secondly, God is connected with goodness. And here we find this good heart. So honest and good heart are different qualities that you find in God himself. And now these qualities you find in God himself are reflected in the heart of the believer. And the believer we find here is connected with the good soil. Because the good soil will produce something in the heart. And so here is important connection. The heart is connected with the work of God. God is doing a work, but I am responsible for my heart's condition. I'm responsible to be good soil. We'll see tomorrow in Isaiah 28, there's the site of God's sovereignty. But my responsibility is to make sure that I'm good soil and that I receive the seed and that I give it room so that it can develop. And now notice in Luke 8 where it says, it is not only good soil, it's connected with an honest and good heart, it's connected with hearing the word. And hearing the word is not in one ear in and one ear out, it is really hearing in connection with receiving it and keeping it. It says, keep it. That is, do the word of God. God wants us to be doers of the word. Beloved, that's my problem. That's our problem. We hear, but are we doers of the word? The Lord wants us to keep the word. Revelation 1:3 emphasizes that very much. It is for those who keep it, who do it. And so this is what is connected with this bringing forth of fruit. Because it takes good soil. It takes a good and honest heart. It takes receiving the word of God. It takes keeping it. And then you can bring forth fruit. It's a whole process. I counted here 7 points. Because the word patience is one of the 7 points. Patience means endurance. Keep going. Don't be discouraged. The word patience is so important. It is continue on, although it is difficult. Continue on under a burden. So this patience is the key, or one of the keys. And so these 7 points you find here in Luke 8:15 help us to understand how God produces this. But I have my responsibility. What God does, that's His side. But I am responsible to be good soil, to have a good and honest heart, to hear, to keep, or do the word of God, to have patience, and to bear fruit for the glory of God. May the Lord help us.
Study number 2 will begin at 4 p.m. promptly. We will now have our 15-minute break. And the kitchen staff has asked that when you receive your refreshment, in order to facilitate the movement of peoples, please move on to the foyer and make the tables accessible for those behind you. Enjoy your break. We'll see you at 4 o'clock. Yes, and Brother Wagley has reminded us that parents with small children under the age of 10 years of age should accompany their kids for dinner at 4:30.